It's the 28th of February, last day of February. Summer's coming, folks. I can feel it getting warmer. Are you excited? I hate warm. I talk to my family and friends back east, and they don't want to hear. It's cold here. Shut up. So we're continuing with stocks today. Hope you have your packets. Maybe not, if you didn't, weren't here on Tuesday. We discussed the introduction of stocks on Tuesday. We're going to continue with that, talk about transactions and the like. The Chapter 4 assignment is due. The Chapter 1 assignment is due. So turn in your assignments, even if they're late. Don't worry about being late. Turn them in. We want you to do them. If you have a question, contact me, because you can't really do this just from book. It's like trying to learn how to drive without getting behind the wheel of a car. Yes.
I messed up.
I noticed. Okay. Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. Okay. Now. Do you want to turn? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can turn them. You can drop them right on my desk, right there. Make sure your name's on it. I have a stapler up here normally, but don't do it in the middle of class. Okay, so let's see if we can get this thing working. Come on, sweetheart. Where's the doc cam? Hello? I just turned it off. I'm not turning on. Why can't these things just have a sawn-off switch? Just turn on, okay? Just turn on. What's wrong with you? Oh, there it goes. It's making a noise. Oh, you can see it. Okay, tell me. I thought it was not on yet. All right, now, if you get involved in investing, which I hope you do, right? Maybe it's, I don't want anything to do with this place. Okay, maybe I don't want anything to do with this place, but if you get involved in investing, your name is going to get on certain lists, right? What I do, and I'm not suggesting you do this, but they'll ask you, how old you are. They'll ask you how much money you make, right? They'll say, what's your annual salary, annual income? So I always say I'm old, right? But now I am old, but I've been doing this for a long time, so now they must think I'm in my 90s or something like that. And always put the highest number. Like, oh, yeah, I make $500,000 a year, okay? Because then they'll come after you, right? They'll come after you, and they'll often give you perks or something like that. And so if you're interested, you can say I'm me, right? You're going to start getting stuff like this. Here is an invitation to go to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. You know they named it just to make sure people wouldn't be able to say it. So they'll say, oh, yeah, you know a place called Ruth or whatever it is. And so they're going to give you a steak dinner, which is better than what they usually give. They usually give you the chicken leather dinner, But they're going to, oh, yeah, this is, you got to find out. Well, we're going to show you all the great things, the number one mistake most Americans are making. Are you one of them? And much more. Now, what they're going to try to do is sell you annuity. And how do you know that? Whenever you see, at least these people put the word insurance in. All they legally have to do is put their insurance number. They don't have to tell you that they're insurance agents. That's how you know they're insurance. Didn't you know that? If you saw a number that looked like that, that they're insurance agents? You didn't know that? Well, the folks up in Sacramento believe you do because the insurance agents told them. So these guys are going to try to sell you an annuity. The annuity guarantees are backed by the financial strength. Nobody reads this part. So I know a guy. I don't do it. I don't go to these things. I've been to a couple of them. And, sometimes there's a little bit of information. Most of it I know. But I took my wife to one. It was a few years ago. At least you get a dinner, right? I know one guy who's older, and he says he's single. Because if you tell him you're married, they want both people to come. They want your spouse to come. But he says he's single. He's not. He's married. His wife wants something to do with it. He just goes for the dinner and then says, thank you very much. No, I'm okay. I don't need any help or anything. So you can do that too. So if you're interested, here it is. You can say I'm me. You can say that you are me and go for a dinner at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Cool? How are we doing? You guys are awesome, really. I mean, really, you guys, it's a performance. I wanted to do performance. Look, even the marijuana stock's coming back. The marijuana stock's coming back. And folks, one of these companies is going to become a behemoth. Or what's probably going to happen is Reynolds, British American Tobacco, or Altria, Philip Morris are going to buy them, in which case you're still going to make a lot of money. But you don't know which one. That's the problem. Several of them are going to disappear. But how are we doing? PG&E? Oh, it's actually gone down a little bit. It was over $5,000, right? But you guys are awesome. Bali, Baba, Boeing. Want to sell anything? No? Sell something? You want to take your profits? No, that's your winner's ride. That's your ride. Good, okay. Good. You guys are smart. What a great group. You want to see how the investment club is doing? They're doing that pretty good, too. Not as good as you guys, up a 5%. What's our stinker? No stinkers, but Caterpillar? Not bad. Bilibili. Anybody know what that is? I still don't know what it is. I keep saying I got to look it up.
Chinese YouTube.
It's a YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Chinese YouTube. Okay.
I think it's having a sell-off today because they announced a 57% increase in revenue.
And they had a sell-off. Oh, because it wasn't 75%, right? Yeah, right. They look at this. For you math folks, they look at the second derivative, not just the first derivative. You know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. They look at the rate of the growth of the growth. The rate of the growth of the growth, not just the rate of growth. Okay, so let's get to work. We got to get to work here. Okay. Where were we? Right here, right? Yeah. So we went through, as you remember, what? Oh, joke! Did you bring one? All right. Okay, let's hear.
Okay.
Loudly, reject from your diagram, sir.
I'm trying to pick which one.
Oh, come on, don't take too much time.
But before you criticize someone, walk a mile in their shoes. That way, when you criticize them, you're a mile away and you have their shoes.
That's good advice, actually. Walk a mile in their shoes. That way they won't hear you, and you have their shoes. Okay. That's not really a joke, though. It's not really a joke. Okay. How about a... okay, let's hear. Can't create a hostile environment. Okay.
What is the cow's favorite subject?
What is the cow's favorite subject? Moology. No, I'm sorry. What is it?
Calculus.
Oof. Wow. Okay. Yes, I got plenty of bad jokes in calculus. Did you tell it to your math teachers? They're going to love that one, calculus. What do you call a cow with no arms or no legs? Ground beef. Well, yeah, they're really bad. Okay, so to recap, what we did on Tuesday, the securities markets, this whole system of buying and selling and offering companies to the public, via shares, common shares for shareholders in common, exists to allow investors a safe, cost-effective method to participate in the success of the global economy. And even with all the underhanded shenanigans, they have performed well. They are changing at breakneck speed, and the change is only accelerating. Whether or not we have one or more global 24-hour trading markets remains to be seen. But it is exciting and for some people scary to watch, especially for those who have a stake in the outcome. So it's 2 a.m. in the morning. You decide you have to sell your 100 shares of McDonald's. You go online and the market is open 24 hours a day. Would you be cool with that? Yeah? You like that idea? Oh, dear Lord, I don't. Like, come on, turn it off for a while. Would you just turn it off? But that's what some people are talking about, being able to buy and sell securities 24 hours a day using your smell phone. I don't know. Anyway, so have you heard the two terms bull market and bear market? Where do they come from? Well, there are, like any word, there's often several places where it came from. Bull markets are the favorable markets, rising prices, optimism, economic growth, recovery, government stimulus, because supposedly bulls charge ahead. They throw their opponents up in the air. That's the conventional wisdom. I don't know if that's really where it came from, but that's the conventional wisdom. And bears, on the other hand, are more reclusive. When they attack, they knock their opponents down, right? But supposedly, the term comes from something much more subtle and kind of bizarre, and that's from bearskin jobbers. So if you're the kind of person who really likes the etymology of words, okay, who wasn't here on Tuesday? These two people, who else? Pass two back this way, please. Pass two back that way. Anybody else? Okay, then look at bearskin jobbers and this phrase, don't sell the bearskin before the bear is caught, because that's supposedly where it really came from. But all you have to know is bull market up, bear market down. And it's considered a 20% fall. If it only falls 5 or 10%, that's, or 15, that's a correction. Back in fall, from October to December, it fell, it actually fell 20% intraday, but at the end of the day, it had recovered, so they don't consider that a true bear market. But it fell 19.74% or something like that. So it wasn't a true bear market, but we went through almost a bear market back in December and hit almost 20%. So it's only a correction. Now, types of transactions. I'm going to ask you to remember these, and they're a little subtle. They're a little subtle, but do your best. The two most important ones, in my humble opinion, of course everyone's different, are the market order and the limit order. And then there are these stop loss and stop limit orders. And I don't really understand. To be truthful, I don't understand these. I don't use them. I know traders use them. But they both work pretty much the same way. If you want to buy a share or 10 shares or 100 shares, or you want to sell your shares, typically you're going to use a market order. What does that mean? Go out there, broker, whether it's an online broker or you actually call somebody up and talk to your broker. Go out there and buy or sell the shares at whatever best price you can get. Darn it, I left them in these. I'm getting old, folks. Okay, it's okay. So no problem, no problem. I know where they are. You look on the screen, right, and you see it's trading for $20.37. But first of all, unless you pay extra or go to your brokers or talk to your broker, you're looking at the price 15 minutes ago, right? You're not getting the current price. If you go to your broker, or some people, some places will give it to you online. This is what they're actually giving you. This is what the actual price is. That you don't know what the actual price is because it's 15 minutes away from you, from behind you. And when you put in the order, whatever price you get, that's the price you get. Okay, I'm very happy with the market. I'm very happy with what the market gives me. On the other hand, if you say, look, I want to buy these stocks, but I will not pay more than $20. And it's selling for $20.50. You put in a limit order, which says, I'll buy 100 shares, but it has to be $20. So now it's in the computer. It used to be on this book, and they would scan through the book. No. It's all computerized now. If the price hits $20, boom, it's gonna hit. You're going to get it at $20. You might get it lower, but you're not going to pay more than $20. The same thing is true on the sell side. If you say, look, I want to sell my shares, but I'm not going to accept anything less than $21, and it's selling for $20.30. If it runs up to $21, the computerized trading system is going to sell it. Are you with me? Understand? Okay, now what's the difference? What is a stop loss and a stop limit order? The stop loss order, the stop limit order says, look, if it hits this trigger point, then in this case, turn it into a market order. As soon as it hits that trigger point, boom, I want it to be a market order. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get the price that you set. If you set the price to buy at $20, if it touches $20, now it becomes a market order. You might get a lower price. You might get a higher price because the next trade might be at a different price. You see the difference? Whereas the limit order, you will not pay more than $20. Here, you might wind up paying more than $20. And what people tell me who are traders, they use these stop loss orders to guard against a major loss. Say they're selling for $20.50. And if it goes below $20, I want to sell. You see? So I'm saying, you know, you're going to see this later on when we get to technical analysis. You know, I'm worried about this stock going down. I don't want to sell it, but if it ever goes below $20, I want it to become a market order. It becomes a market order. That's a stop loss. A stop limit becomes a limit order. Now, I don't understand the difference between this and that. I mean, if it's a limit order, it's going to work the same way, but that's what they tell me. So now, what happens if the market falls precipitously? What happens if the next trade is at $16? If you have a stop loss, you will have sold at $16. Are you with me? Understand the difference? Where a limit is saying, no. Well, you wouldn't use a limit on the downside because you're selling, you wouldn't use a limit on the downside. You would use a limit on the upside. And so what traders will do is they will set these stop losses at certain places so that, you know, I'll only lose a buck or so. But if the market does what it did in, as we're going to see today, 1987, where it went down 20% in one day, you could easily sell your stock for a lot less than you thought you were going to sell it for. Are you with me? So make sure you understand the difference between a market order, a limit order, and stop loss. To be truthful, I really don't understand the difference between a stop limit and a limit order because it hits this price point and then it becomes a limit order. Well, what's the difference? What's the difference? Because somebody has tried to explain it to me and I didn't understand it when he explained it to me. And although you can use limit orders to buy and sell at the price you want, and stop loss and stop limit orders to lock in profits to protect against losses, they trigger automatically. If you see the market falling, or you see the price of your stock falling, and I don't really want to sell. I'm changing my mind. By the time you get to the computer, it's too late. It's already been done. Right? Okay, good. Okay, so now, here's a table, and they try to explain the difference. I still know the difference. So here. Buy at the best price available, but not more than the preset price. Forego the purchase if the limit is not met. Stop limit, convert to a limit order to buy when the stock price crosses the stop price from below. Okay, see, it's coming from below. Okay, all right. And then it becomes a limit order, so you're not going to pay more than that. Okay, I've never used anything other than a market order. I said, look, I want to buy these shares, I want to sell these shares. So, as I said, short-term traders tell me they prefer, and if you go online, you'll see, put a stop here, put a stop there, because it could do, you know, 2%, or $2 up, or $5 down. You want to make sure you don't lose too much. I said, okay, just sell the damn thing. If you don't want it, sell it. Okay, buying on margin and selling short. Let me see, I'm getting confused here. No. Let's stop right here. All right. And we discussed the system, and we said that it used to be all face to face, and it's now all computerized. What we're going to do now, though, and we're going to see a video. It's not the best video, but there's not that many out there that are decent about this. It's also a history lesson, because you're going to see the old way of doing things, where people are screaming and hollering in the pit and jostling and yelling at each other and paper flying all over the place. But that's all gone now. But you're going to see the worst day in modern history of the market. October 19th, 1987, called Black Monday. The film tries to make it, breathlessly talking about the horrors that are happening. And at the very end, they're saying, he says, but companies were stepping into the breach to support the market. No, they weren't. If a price gets too high, eventually what's going to happen? If the prices get too high, what do people start doing? Selling. The prices get too low? Hey, supply and demand. So watch for the people in the pits and how they maneuver one another. I'll point out the specialists whose job it is to get into the fray and buy when everybody else is selling and sell when everyone else is buying. And you'll see the guy go, I'll sell you so much. It's like, okay, I'll da, 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 da. All right. Oh, darn. Just do recommend it. I wish, you know, these machines, every time you reboot them, they go back to the original state. And sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not so good. I should have tested this beforehand. Do you know Yang on the right-hand side, down twice? Yep, I'll take care of it. Can you hear that? Let's hear it. Come on. Well done. Is that loud enough? Where markets are greatly affected by sophisticated strategies in the hands of a few. Come on, where's the video audio? Don't you hate Windows? Don't you just hate Windows? Yes, I hate Windows. Come on, sweetheart. Where's the sound? Okay.
Dollar plate. It is a market greatly influenced by the use of futures and options. What follows is the story of the two most incredible days of financial history and a guide to investing in this new market environment.
There's a specialist. There's a specialist. Is that good? Should I make it a little smaller? Is that good? Can you see that? Sal! Bye!
Speaking, we don't want to see interest rates increase.
Not much has changed, huh?
By the opening bell in New York, the stage was set for the week-long drama to begin. And it began with a rush to sell.
I'll accept. I'll take it. That's the specialist.
By 10:30,
he's trying to keep the trading going. He's getting people to trade.
More than 400 million shares had been traded. The New York Stock Exchange computers were falling behind due to the tremendous buy.
The market's doing this. You'll see, there's my brother. You listen to me. Tell everything.
Nobody ever experienced a fall that dramatic. No one could comprehend it. And the wave of selling that came in was incredible. You could buy a 2 lot of the S&P, which at that time was, let's say, $260,000 worth of equities, and in about a minute, it could be worth $20,000 less. There were the biggest day of seat sales. People knew that they had probably tremendous out-trade problems. The morale was way down. There were tremendous margin calls for hundreds of millions of dollars made that day on firms.
By the time of the closing, most of the traders were just trying to play catch-up. Everybody was screaming and yelling. It was much panic and confusion in the pit as to what the exact price were. The traders were trying to honor their customers' orders, but it was very difficult because at the time the customer made the order, and by the time it got into the pit, the market was moving so fast that the price would be far away from what the customer wanted to transact it at.
Most
people by the end of the day were numb, didn't understand what was happening. This is a bigger drop than the 1929 crash, and we've never had a day like that. So I don't think very many people really understood what was happening.
By the end of the day on Monday the 19th, everybody was in a panic, and we all had a sinking feeling. We were looking and saying, what's going to happen tomorrow? And we weren't sure, because at that point, we were afraid that the panic would continue. And if it had continued, and we saw the substantial decline the next day, at even close to the same rate as we saw on Monday, we were afraid that we would see an ultimate collapse in our markets.
What happened was, as soon as you have a sell-off of that magnitude, in essence, everybody is flooding into cash, and there's a demand for cash. Securities people find themselves tons of inventories of stocks, and they need to buy those inventories from their customers with cash. So they're going to the banks, asking to borrow money on the basis of securities. When they contacted the banks, and the banks turned them down, or stalled, which money banks never do to securities firms, suddenly this provided a shock to the entire industry. And as the day wore on, the worry was, is will the banks step in? And if they won't step in, this panic could become much, much more dangerous.
H.P. Shane has become the first brokerage in the country to fall victim to the crash of 1987. After the company voluntarily shut itself down, regulators moved in. And tonight, a federal judge in Kalamazoo officially put H.P. Shane into receivership as a complex bankruptcy proceeding begins. Tonight, officials call a news conference to assure H.P. Shane's 4,500 customers that everything is under control.
I think the fundamentals look sound. We, of course, recognize some market nervousness. It's clear to me, however, that conditions do not warrant apocalypse now worries or scenarios. They've cropped up now and again since this recovery began. I have said before that I thought they were unwarranted. I still think that they are unwarranted.
This business coming out of Washington, all the fundamentals are sound? Wrong. A $3 trillion debt is not sound. Not having the national will to have a budget is not sound.
As brokers, traders, and exchange officials in the U.S. sorted through the wreckage and worked all night to repair the damage, as October the 19th faded into history, it was another black day for the rest of the world.
This is scary. They just closed. Closed the market. Sorry. Can't get your shares. Can't sell your shares. Can't buy shares.
The opening bell in New York again found the market in chaos, with specialists unable or unwilling to open trade.
The specials. I'll sell you. I'll sell it to you. Here's where people start going, hey, this is cheap now.
In some respects, October the 19th for the industry was a relatively orderly day. And many people have pointed out that it was actually the next day, October 20th, that we
began to see a situation develop during the late morning hours where the marketplaces collectively approached a cataclysm. And what was happening at that time was that margin calls were going on throughout the street requesting more and more cash from the security firms, from the specialists, and from the traders that were providing liquidity in the market. The banks that were financing those firms and the individual traders, in many cases, were getting very, very concerned about where all this was going to lead. Rumors were floating around on our floor about some clearing organizations maybe perhaps failing. And I think it's fair to say that there was a period of time, a good hour or so, where there was almost complete panic in the marketplace.
This was the point in time that the Wall Street Journal called the most dangerous in 50 years. And this was the situation. The market had lost more than 30% of its value, $1 trillion in a week. Rumors of widespread bankruptcies in the financial industry were being reported. The Federal Reserve had promised to force cash into the system, but would it be enough or too little too late? And now the major exchanges were closing down. If the next move was negative, if the markets broke, this time it would be a crash far beyond Black Monday. This was the eye of the hurricane that had engulfed the world's financial markets. An eerie silence fell on the trading floors in New York and Chicago.
People just start walking away.
It was a moment of great danger. And then, an individual investor using a little-known stock index futures contract, the major market index, still open and trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, began buying. An individual investor was going for broke. Someone was stepping into the breach. In the next half hour, this stock index, designed to mirror the Dow, exploded upward equal to a 440-point rally on the Big Four. The MMI was staging the most horrible rally in its history, and probably the most significant in the last 50 years. The Dow began to respond. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange reopened at 1:15. The CBOE reopened, as did the Kansas City Board of Trade and the New York Futures Exchange. The Dow rallied up 125 points in the next 45 minutes. On the Merck S&P 500 futures rallied, then fell back. The Dow followed. Down 100 points again in an agonizing free fall. Then around 2 p.m., there was a series of announcements that major corporations were going to buy back their own stock. Major U.S. companies were supporting the market. The Dow again rallied up over 100 points and closed with the biggest one-day gain ever. But what a day it had been. And it was not over yet. After a very volatile week, the market fell 156 points the following Monday, and we were treated to this story.
Who just learned that her stockbroker husband, 39-year-old Lloyd Kolakoff, was shot critically wounded in the Baptist Hospital. But even more shocking, the office manager, 53-year-old Jose Agalagos, shot and killed. It happened before noon today at Maryland's The Falls office. 51-year-old Arthur Payne, a regular customer who had lost heavily in the market during last week's plunge, met with the two men. Witnesses say the office door was closed and the meeting quiet. Suddenly, Kane pulled out a .357 Magnum and began shooting the men. He then committed suicide. Employees leaving the building were visibly shaken.
Duh. Okay, so that happened again in 2001. Somebody shot their broker in Atlanta. But luckily, it didn't happen in 2008 and 2009. So, what do you think? Comments, criticisms, suggestions, ideas? Don't screw. Well, it wasn't the broker's fault necessarily. At the end, you see the companies buying back their shares. Now, why did they do that? Were they doing that to support the market? No. You can imagine the conversation with the CEO. Is this a sell order? No, it's a buy order. The CEO saying, "Brad, get in here." He's talking to his, what? Yeah, drop these to you. Here, take more. You can imagine the CEO saying, "Fred, get in here," talking to his, you know, his chief financial officer. "Are we going bankrupt?" No, JL. we're flush with cash, and next quarter we're selling more product than we've ever sold before. "Did you see what just happened to our stock? It's down 35%. "Yeah, JL. "I want you to buy 100,000 shares. Make it 200,000 shares. "Why?"
"It's on sale."
"It's on sale!" I know. And so this video tries to make you scared. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Be very... No. This is a good time. But what happens is that people just panic. Did you see the headlines? Right? Is it the end of the world? Global panic? Those same headlines you saw in 2001, 2002. You saw the same headlines in 2008. Is it going to happen again? Everyone should say yes. Is it going to happen again?
Yes.
Is it going to happen exactly like it happened in 1987? Or 2000 to 2002? Or 2008?
Maybe.
No. Maybe. Yeah, maybe, but probably not. So this is just something that you're going to learn to live with. And that's why you want to prepare yourself emotionally for this happens. And if you have extra cash and it happens, go ahead, jump it in. But most of us...
Buy.
Exactly. So now, but is this going on anymore? The technology, is this people still screaming and hollering and yelling at each other? No. But we're going to do it. Okay, turn to page 3. Everybody got theirs? Joshua? Okay, pass this over to Adrian. And bring in your packets, because remember, Southwestern is poor. Okay, there's just one here. Okay. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Who hasn't seen the spreadsheet yet? Okay. Pass it this way this time, because usually I put it over here and it never gets over there. Okay. So turn to page 3. All right. So what we're going to do. We're going to limit ourselves. Ha, ha, ha. We're going to limit ourselves to market and, did I say stop loss or stop? Yeah, just put stop. Didn't I put the stop there? Stop. We're going to limit ourselves to market orders and stop, which are also called stop loss. You are brokers at the firm. What is the firm? I forget the firm's name. But you're a broker at No Hope Financial? No, you're a broker. It doesn't say the firm's name. The broker? No, but you're a broker, and your job is to buy and sell shares in the company, take the money and run. All right? Take the money and run. It's a joke. Take the money and run. Okay. And so over here, now it wouldn't be this organized. The buyers and sellers are interspersed with one another. But over here are the sellers. You have the shares to sell. Your customers have put in either market orders or stop orders. You are the buyers. Your customers have sent in orders for you to buy shares. And we're going to buy in 100 share increments. We'll talk about that later on. A lot, as he called it in there, a two lot. You have either a market order or a stop order. Now, what's the difference? A market order, get in there, get the best price you can. If you're selling, you want to get the highest price you can. And if you're buying, you want to get the lowest price you can. So you're going to be shouting out your buy orders. For example, let's see how Laura has here. She's got a market order to buy 100 shares. So she's going to be yelling out, you know, whatever the price is, whatever price she thinks she can get, "I'll buy 100 shares at $24 or $25 or $23. We'll start at $25. Okay? But then she also has a stop order or a limit order in the case of buying, where if it hits 24, she has another order that says, "I want to buy 300 shares. On your side, this side, the sell side, if it's a market order, you try to sell at the highest price you can. If it's a stop order, as soon as it hits that price, say it's a stop order at 29, okay, now it becomes a market order. Now you try to sell at the best price you can. Does that make sense? Yes or no?
So if you're selling at the best price, that means the highest
price you can get for your, remember, you're working for your client.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to get the best price you can for your client.
But no less than what they have.
Well, if it's a limit, we don't have limit orders.
Yeah.
We don't have limit orders. We have stop orders. As soon as it hits that price, we're going to start at 25. I'll do it over here. We'll start at 25. Or maybe I should get rid of this guy. Just get him out of the way. and we have plenty of room. Come on, sweetheart, get up. Okay, we'll start at the market opens. The last transaction was at $25. So that's the market price. Now, if you have a market order and you're trying to sell, you're going to at least get asked for 25. You might ask for 26. You might ask for 27, depending on how many buyers are out there. If there's a lot of buyers, you're going to raise your price, right? Same thing is true here. If you're trying to buy and you see that there's a whole lot of sellers, you can lower your price. You can say, oh, no, you know, I'll only pay $24 for that. It's the same thing that happens at a swap meet, right? At a garage sale. Or one of these, what's these shows about pawn shops and the like? There's
pawn
shows.
Star.
What's it called?
Pawn Star.
Pawn Star or something like that, where the people are yelling. And they don't yell at them, do they?
No.
No, but they're trying to get the best price, right? The people who are selling this stuff are trying to get the best price. The people who are buying it are trying to get the best price, which means let's converge on the middle. Are you ready? Excited?
Wait.
I know, because you came in late. Who wants to give a couple of his slips to him? Okay. Okay. You have to give two. Here you go. Okay. Are they sell? Yes, they are. Yes? Oh, well. Borrow one from somebody else. Get them out of them. Where am I? Yeah, these are buy. It's the buy order. Here, take this. It's a buy order. See what happens when you go to the bathroom? I don't have any more. All right, so just grab one for somebody else. Yes. Okay, so now, you have to get the best price on the sell side. You're trying to get the highest price. You buyers are trying to get the lowest price. You ready?
Is it split?
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter, really. Yeah, it's split right here. These are all the sellers. These are all the buyers. And when you do, yell out that you made a transaction and then bring the shares over there and record it on the ticker tape. I'll be the ticker tape. This is not a ticker tape anymore. Now, is this stuff actually... Go ahead.
Oh, are we supposed to have as many shares?
If you don't worry about it. It's just for fun and giggles. We'll just write down how many. So remember, if you have 100 shares, you can just yell out the number. If you have 200 shares, you can say 200. You can say 200. Or two. Two at 25. That's how they did it. And the sellers would do what? The sellers would go like this. Two at 25. That means they'll sell you 200 shares at $25 a share. The buyers would say, three at 23. I'll buy 300 shares at, you can say 300 shares at $23. but you don't have to make the motion. And it's all gone, right? It's all electronic now. Okay, so ready? Here comes the ball. I know you guys aren't ready, because what usually happens, people go like this. But you gotta be vocal. You gotta yell out. Yeah, I'll sell these shares. I'll buy these shares. Or you're gonna get kicked out. They're gonna kick you out of the pit. They're gonna say, you're not a trader. Get out of here. Okay, you ready? Here comes the bell. Ding, 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 ding. Last price was $25 a share for take the money and run. Okay, sellers, buyers.
I got 2 or 28.
Yeah,
I'm
trying to buy some shares.
That's 2.27.
Yell them out. What do you pay? What would you pay? What will you pay?
3 for 29.
Three right here. Three.
You can get up. Come on. Who wants to buy? Come on, yell them out. You buy. What are you going to buy at?
That's 3 for 27. 3 at 29.
Who wants to buy? You come on. You got to yell out. You buy. Come on, buyers, sellers, yell out. How much you sell for? Come on, buyers.
3 for 27.
Oh, these brokers, they're never going to make it in New York. Do you realize that they take lessons in how to be rude to each other? Come on, yell out how much you buy it for. How much? Laura, how much are you going to buy it for? Marco, how much? Oh, would you make a sale? How much?
25.
How many shares? 325. Okay, so it's a neutral tick. It stayed at 25. Next, come on, transactions. You guys got to yell out. Come on. Carlos, get in there.
My clients will not settle for that price.
Well, then yell out a smaller price. I'll pay $24. What do you have?
28.
Well, then yell out 28, 20, oh no, 25? They'll sell 26. Some. 26. I'll sell some for 26. Come on, buyers. You guys, you buyers, you're going to get fired.
So 25 per share.
Per share, but 100 shares. How many shares?
So we're doing
400 for 25. Ticker is neutral. Neutral tick.
2 for 26.
Come on. 3 for 27. 3 for 20. Y'all don't yell at me. Yell at them. Come on, buyers. Come on, buyers. Yell out your prices.
324.
Yell out your prices. Yell out. Come on, Holly. Come on. Yell out your prices. Yes, off the slip. What is it? What do you want to sell for?
2 for 26.
2 for 26. Yell it out. Come on, buyers. Come on.
Somebody on that side.
That somebody has wants to buy 26 stuff. Here. Here we go. Make a deal. Make a deal. 2 for 26. Up.
I did.
Uptick.
I did 1 for 27.
Uh-oh. Yeah. How many?
One.
100 for 27, and we just had 2 for 26. So the market's a little volatile now. The price went up, too. That back down. Come on. You guys are going to get fired. You're never going to make it in New York. You got to yell out your prices.
3 or 29. Come on, don't be cheap. Get them while you got them.
Why won't you do this? What are you afraid of? Come on. Come on, John. Yell out your prices.
You want to keep your job, right? You want to be here Tuesday?
Yeah.
Who are you?
So
100 shares, you'll sell them if it hits. Oh, this is a sell order. That goes over there. The buy order.
This one doesn't have a price.
22. Yeah, thank you, 25.
25.
Yeah, 25.
So 400 at 25?
Yeah, 425.
I'm looking to buy one.
Hey, look, she's looking to retire. She's going to give you 2 for 27. I think you take it. Let's
Why won't you yell out your prices? Every single person. Yes. Don't talk to me. Talk to them. Oh, we made a sale. Okay, we're back down to 25. 225. Okay, so now tick is down. So this was neutral, up, down, and down. Price is falling. Come on, you buyers, get in there. You'll pay some of them. 25. Come on, 26. There you go. How many shares are 26? 400 shares, uptick. We're now up to 26. Come on, you guys want to sell 26? Here, you guys want to buy at 26, right? You got market orders?
126.
Okay, how much? 126? Make a deal. 126. Neutral. You got to be yelling out constantly. You can't just sit there and look at them. You got to. They can't read your mind. How many shares you got to sell? 226. Yell them out. 226. Yell them out. Come on, Leo. How many shares to sell? 27. 26. Yell out your shares.
1 for 27.
Come on, buyers. Yell out how many shares. What do we have? What do we have? How much? I got it already.
3 for 30.
You're not playing the game. You're not. You've got to yell out your prices at what you're going to buy it for. 5 for 27. 27.
4 for 25.
324. If you have a market order, you have to sell.
Wait, can we do more than one order at the same time?
Yeah, sure. You can do multiple orders. How many people over here have a market order?
4 for 29.
How many people have a market order? Raise your hands. How many people have a market order? It'll say market. Market.
It's either on the top or the bottom.
Okay.
Okay.
But then it just says stop or market. Okay, then you have to wait until it hits that price. Okay. How many people have a market order? Raise your hand. Raise your hands have market orders. You should be yelling out that price to these people here. Okay, how many people have a market order over here? You should be, okay, do it. Yell at each other. Or we're going to stop in more lecture. You have to listen to me lecture again. Come on, market folks. Okay. Okay, price went up. You market folks, you're missing the market. The price is going up. I got it. Don't worry about it. 5 for 27. Price is now 27. Come on. Come on, you neutral. Neutral. Price is now 27. You buyers, you're losing it. You're supposed to be getting the best price, and the price keeps going up, and you're sitting there.
I have another
Laura, yell out a price. Kyle, yell out a price. 24. They're not going to pay 24. They're not paying 24. What? Are they all stop orders or are they market orders? Are they market orders or stop orders? They're stop orders. You're screwed. You can't. You have to wait. Yeah, you have to wait. 4 for 27. And then 5. Okay. Mark, you buyers, mark, the price has gone down a little bit. The ticket's gone down. Well, this is a bust. I'm going to put the other one on the screen. I'm going to show you another class. Okay. All right. So I can't get the buyers to play games. So you see what happens in history. This is what would happen. There used to be pieces of paper, and then they started using these electronic devices that would talk to one another. But now there's like 10 people on the floor doing this. Everything else is electronic. You sellers, you're sitting behind a computer entering the orders. You buyers, you're sitting behind a computer. Many of your clients don't even go through you. They just do it on their cell phone or their computer, and it goes right into the machine. Nobody even sees the order. But you understand what's going on here? No?
Yeah.
That it looks like chaos, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And there are people whose job it is just to make sure that the two transactions happen. They fill out their ticket, and then there's runners who are then running back and recording it. It was all manual, but now it's all electronic. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. How do they process the trade? They better get it right. So in other words, the buyer, I'm sorry?
They write all of that information.
Not anymore. Originally, it was all manual. There were people, remember the guys writing in their books?
So they have to know their routing number.
Well, it wasn't even that sophisticated. Yeah. It wasn't even that sophisticated. But now it is. Now it's all electronic. Yes?
So, like, okay, and I seen in a book on Wall Street when he makes his first sale, and then they're telling him to run, and then they fill out the slip, and then while somebody else is in accounting is actually doing all that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Did that like really happen at some point? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Before computers, it was all manual. Yes.
Oh, they pay money. I mean, if I sell my car this year, I won't get my money back.
Well, it's not your money. Remember, you're the broker.
Oh, okay.
You're doing it on behalf of your clients. These people are buying on behalf of their clients, so these clients have to have the cash. The cash then is they're buying. They have the whatever it's 100 shares at $25 a share. That's $2,500. They have to have $2,500 in their account, and then your client is going to that cash is going to be transferred to their account.
That's how that's how very accurate because if they forget
things. Well. If they literally don't come up with the money, then the brokerage firm is responsible for making good on the.
So I give somebody 500 shares.
You give them the shares, they give you the cash. If all of a sudden you don't get the cash, you better believe that there's going to be regulators and all kinds of people coming in saying, "What's going on here?" It used to be slow. It used to take five. We'll talk about this as we go along with stocks. It used to take 5 days for the transaction to settle. 5 business days. Can you see how long it takes when you have all these transactions happening? You would buy the shares today on Thursday. Next Thursday, you'd get the shares. Next Thursday, the money would go in your account. But now it's 3 days. Yes. Well, the money's going to change hands later on. They're just watching the transactions as they're occurring.
It's just based on the shares.
It's based on the transactions, the number of shares that are being bought and sold. And did you see where it went? It was plus 233, and then it was minus 234, something like that. The systems were just way overwhelmed with the sheer volume of trading, which is why they knew back in the 70s and 80s that eventually, they started back in the 70s, computerizing the systems. And it wasn't until the 90s and the 2000s that it literally collapsed. The traders just all left, and now they're all computerized. Yeah.
So,
did I answer your question? Yeah.
So on Black Monday, like, people started selling because someone else started selling. Everyone was selling because someone else was selling. And they're only buying because someone else is buying. So, like...
crowd mentality, yeah.
That's the entire thing that caused it?
Well, you listened and they were talking about the program trading. The computers were, their computer algorithms now, which have taken over, by the way, we'll discuss those later on. But some people started initiating Fidelity Investments and Wells Fargo Advisors on behalf of GM started initiating large transactions. But it's this crowd mentality. People just started selling. I can't tell your name for Nubulax, but she had gotten into the market. You know, this is her way to riches and everything. And she had a young broker who advised everybody on Monday to sell. And we met with them that night. We had a dinner date with them that night. I said, for Nubulax, you didn't sell today, did you? I mean, today was the worst day to sell. And she went, yeah, he told us we should sell. How old is this guy? He was pretty young. And so he had not lived through this. And so you go back in time and you look at what happened from, if you're at the beginning, from January to August, the market had risen 40%. And so it was just natural that people would start going, you know, I think this stuff is too damn expensive, and start selling. And then the selling began other selling, and telling you, oh, quick, run, is it too late to get out? And that's the dance. You know, it gets too high, the prices, people start selling, and then panic, and then they... see that it falls too low and they buy and it goes back up again.
There's no sign to be on, like, oh, it's cheaper.
Well, we're going to see what's cheap, what's expensive. But as you say, there is some science, but there is an awful lot of art. And there's an awful lot of psychology. What's it called? Psychology, right. An awful lot of psychology. And that's, you know, as we said at the very beginning, there are two parts to investing. There's an intellectual part. You look at the graph. You see that, you know, stocks have clobbered everything else, right? And so you say, I'm going to invest in stocks. But then when you see this happen, right, you see people lose 20% in one day or one week. In October 2008, the market fell 22% in one week. And I thought, cool, I'm bounced in. I jumped in with bought some extra cash. Normally, I buy shares every month through my 403B and my Roth IRA, very boring. But here, I said, okay, I put some extra cash in. It then fell another 22%. Like, oh, 3 weeks too soon, darn it. But, that's it. You know, that's why dollar cost averaging is so cool, because it takes away the emotion. But if you had a lot of cash, that was the day to invest. But how many people? Everybody's running that way. What do? Well, it's not easy, right? It's not easy. It's easy to say it, but then when you see, you know, you just, remember the one guy said $262,000 became $20,000 less in a matter of, what did he say, 2 minutes? A matter of minutes. He said a matter of minutes, he lost $20,000. How would you feel? Damn. I hate that when it happens. So, questions, thoughts, ideas? Yes, Kevin.
That's not even your money until, like, you claim it, right? That's just all, like, imaginary.
Well, yeah, you'll hear people say, well, it's only a paper loss. Yeah. I've only lost 90%. It's only a paper loss. So, or a paper gain, you know. It's all, people say, oh, I'm only... You know, you talk to very wealthy people or something like that. Oh, I'm only wealthy on paper. Yeah, I'm only poor on paper. Let me show you all the deeds, all the loans. So, but yes, you're right. If you didn't sell, you didn't lose that day. But if you bought in a company that then eventually became bankrupt, well, then obviously you've lost. Questions? Did I answer your question? Yeah, you're right. The best thing, see, that's the intellectual part we see, we're learning about that in this class. A lot of people will never learn all the things we learn. But the emotional part, it's not easy to teach because it's emotions. How are you going to, I think I told you, when I have a client, After there's a downturn, that's when I start calling them. You know, you don't call them when things are good. You call them when things are bad. How did you do? Oh, I don't even look at it. Like, hallelujah. Don't even look at it. Turn the television off. Turn off the radio. Don't look at the internet. And then you hear people say, oh, I lost $50. Like, okay. We need to put you in something more conservative. It's over here. Does that make sense? Cool. What do you think? Are you ready? You guys, by the way, it's good that you don't have to make a living being brokers. Because, that was bad.
I got like 5 stop orders. So.
And you, well, yeah, Mark, I'm sorry, Marco, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Marco was basically screwed. He never got, and that's the problem. That's the problem with limit. I don't like these things. I like marketers. You want to buy it, buy it. But this, I'm not going to pay over $20. It's $25. And then it goes to 100 over the next 5 years. Duh. Well, I wasn't going to pay more than $20. Fine, you never got it. Oh, well. So there you go. Okay. So now, you heard him talk, a couple of guys talking about the margin calls and buying on margin. We are going to come back to this at the very end of this semester. But we just want to briefly look at margins and selling short. All you have to know at this point in time is what you see on this slide. Margin calls, buying on margin, happens when you borrow from your account. You've heard of home equity line of credits? Mm-hmm. Where you home equity line of credit, you can borrow from the equity in your house. Well, stocks are equities. Stocks are worth something. So once, you can do it right away, but I wouldn't recommend it. Once you have a sufficient amount in your account, and you don't want to sell these shares, you're in love with your stocks and they're doing well for you, but I need some cash. You can borrow from your stocks. Now, what some people do is they borrow to juice, to increase their returns. And we'll see this at the very end of the semester. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous, and that's why you heard him talking about there were hundreds of millions of dollars of margin calls. These are people who lost. They borrowed money to juice, to magnify their returns, and what was happening was magnifying their losses. And we'll discuss the mechanics at the end of the semester. Don't worry about it. All you have to know is that you're borrowing money from your stocks. The other one that goes along with margining, and there's a reason why it does, is called selling short. You are borrowing stock from somebody else and then selling it in the hopes that the price goes down. So you'll hear this, and some of you probably go, what the hell is he talking about? He's selling it short. You think of the way we normally think of, buy low, sell high, right? But you can make the money in reverse. You can sell high and buy low. Huh? And all you have to know for now is that you hope the price goes down. So you'll hear people say, I made a ton of money in the crash. And you go, how the hell did you do that? They were short. They were expecting the price to go down. Both of these are risky. And I don't recommend that you do it, but at the very end of the semester, we'll go through the mechanics and you'll learn how it happens. Because if you do take the Series 7, you got to know this stuff. In fact, this is part of one of the two hardest sections of the Series 7. It's margin and shorting, and then the other one is options. My advice is just don't do it. It's just too risky, and we'll see why later on. Okay, is that cool? That's all you have to know for now. Transaction costs. How are we doing for time? Not bad, actually. Transaction costs used to be a lot higher, in the 1 to 5% range. And the largest portion was the brokerage commission. But technology, deep discount brokers have pushed the price way low. It's much less than it used to be. Why? Because of technology. And now, anybody use Robinhood? A lot of you, right? You're very popular with the younger folks. They were not the first ones to do it. They were not the first ones to offer free trades. But now they're the only one left. The other two stopped doing it. They're out of business. One just changed to a different model. So they're offering you free trades. Is it really free, guys? No. You don't really think about it. Have transaction costs really gone down? The answer is yes. They really have gone down. But now the cost is hidden from you. And Here's an example. A deep discount broker, deep discount internet broker, that's what we call them. You don't hear that too much, but in the industry they're called the deep discount folks. Or people just call them it brokers, internet brokerage firms. They offer trades for $7 a trade. Anybody into Scott Trade, which is now owned by TD Ameritrade? In the fine print of the client broker agreement that you all read, it's good for insomnia, is included a provision for allowing the broker to solely utilize exclusive stock dealers, market makers. They're the people we talked about on Tuesday. The quoted price is simply the best price available. But at any one time, there are dozens of prices quoted as dealers and market makers are competing for buy and sell orders. You see, you didn't do it, you buyers, but you're supposed to be yelling out prices. I'll buy it at 24. I'll buy it at 25. No, you buy it at 26. All right, okay, I'll pay 26. And it was set up so that the price would go up. It was set up as the price, so you buyers were supposed to follow the price up. There was more buying demand. I'm sorry. Yeah, there was more demand on the buy side. I get confused. Yeah, and then there was on the sell side. So the sellers were going, no, we're going to wait until we get the price up, but you guys didn't bite. The chosen dealer doesn't necessarily have the best price. So you see the price on the internet, $20, right? I mean, of course, you're seeing it 15 minutes in the past, but you might wind up paying $20.05. The price you see is just the best price. But at any one time, there are dozens of prices. So the investor sees the $7 commission on their confirmation. The investor does not see the extra $5 they paid on a 100 share purchase, right? Because they paid an extra 5 cents a share. So here is the disclaimer that I'm not sure if they still do this, but they did this several years ago, but now they've got bought by TD Ameritrade. So I don't know I should ask. But the following disclaimer was included, maybe still is included, in each trade confirmation email from Scottrade. Now notice it's all uppercase. Whenever a financial institution, or anybody for the matter, sends you stuff in uppercase, they don't really want you to read it. Because it's harder to read. I know, he said, what? It's counterintuitive. It is harder to read text when it's in uppercase. We use uppercase, any graphics folks out there? Use uppercase for titles. That's at the top. But to read, you use upper and lowercase, because it's a lot easier on our eyes. So they do that on purpose, because they just know people will gloss over it, thinking, oh, this is important stuff, but I can't read it. Scott Trade Incorporated receives remuneration for directing orders to particular broker dealers or market centers for execution. Such remuneration is considered compensation to the firm, and the source and amount of any compensation received by the firm in connection with your transaction will be disclosed upon request. Do you know what that means? What the hell is remuneration? It's money. Wait, money. In other words, the market maker, the broker center, whatever, whoever did, not the, I'm sorry, the dealer center, whoever actually bought and sold the transaction, whoever had the inventory where they sold it to you or bought it from you, they're giving a kickback. Now, they're not going to use the word kickback to Scottrade. It's called order flow. And that's how Robinhood makes money. Now, Robinhood is also talking about creating margin accounts. At first, did you see what they did? They said, oh, we're going to be like a bank. We're going to offer a checking account with interest at 3%. And I saw that. I said, no, you aren't. You're not a bank. You're not going to be allowed to do that. And sure enough, within, I guess it was a day or so, the Securities Exchange Commission said, no, you're not. You're not doing that. You're not a bank. You can't. If you want to be a bank, you've got to go to the bankers. You've got to go to the Federal Reserve, and good luck, because nobody. I mean, if Apple could get away with it, if Walmart could get away with it, they would open a bank, but they can't get away with it. And in Scottrade's defense, at least they prominently disclose this relationship. Are you with me? You understand? So real quick, let's take a look. How are we doing for time? Not bad. Let's go to the marketplace. Where is it? And let's go to Yahoo and take a look at a simple single. Oh God, it's funny. Oh, we should just click on this. Darn it! I shouldn't have done that. It takes forever. The internet is so slow. Why did I do that? Let's go back. Come on, sweet. Ah. Okay. Oh jeez. Okay. Let's go to who do we think probably beg with? Because all these companies are pretty. Tesla. Take a look at Tesla. Oh, here, In this day and age, this is a pretty big spread for companies that are as big as Tesla. Usually you see a penny. And right now, if you want to buy Tesla, the best price available is $315.06. That's the best price available. That's not necessarily the price you're going to get. If Scottrade or Robinhood routes it to somebody else, you might get $13.50.10 or $13.15.20. You with me? Are you watching? Are you got it on your screen too? Okay, good. All right, now, if you sell it, how much are you going to get? The best price. Everyone should say 315. Did it just change? Okay, 315. You see the difference? Now, we talked about this on Tuesday. I want you to memorize this because it's not easy. But the best way, I wish they would use retail wholesale. Wouldn't that make a whole lot more sense? What you pay as a retail investor and what you get as a retail investor when the wholesalers buy it from you. But you have to remember the ask price. And if you remember, if you have to ask, it's too much, right? You hear that saying? How much is that yacht? Well, if you have to ask, it's too much. So think about ask as being the more expensive one, bid being the lower one. Has it changed yet? Market's open, yeah. No, it hasn't changed yet. Let's take a look at another stock that's big, let's look at Microsoft or somebody. You'll see, most of these are just a penny nowadays. The best, maybe these are best prices. Yeah, see, it's a penny. The best price is $112.49. Now, you're probably going to pay more, depending if you go through these internet brokers. And the worst price now you're going to get, the best price you're going to get when you sell it is $112.48. Now, what the hell does this mean? This means that you have to multiply by 100, but there are 2,200,000 shares now being offered to buy at this price or lower, and there's 80,000 shares to be sold at this price or higher. See what's going on? Do you care? If you have a very short-term horizon, yeah, you probably do. Especially with companies that are bogus, not real companies. But if you have a long-term horizon, no big deal. It's an extra $5. Who the hell cares? It's not a big deal. But if you're trying to buy and sell, the spread becomes very important. And that's when you become a trader. And if you get into the industry, you could become one of the dealers, one of the market makers, and make money off of the spread. And then it's important for you, obviously. That's how you make your money. Questions? You're not a long-term investor. You're a trader. You're a speculator. You're buying and selling to make money off of... Yeah. Question? Okay. Okay, good. Now, it's quick. We were supposed to do this on... we didn't have time. Okay. We talked about the Casas de Cambios. And this should look familiar, some of you. Do you know how to do that? The right-hand side down twice. Right-hand side down twice. Right hand. Right. The other right. Okay, now one more time. Okay, cool. So if you go down, this is San Isidro. These are people who make money off of the spread between pesos and dollars. If you want pesos, you give them a dollar, they're going to give you 18.025 pesos. But if you want pesos, you have to pay 18.525 pesos. Are you with me? You understand that, how it works? Most people don't have any idea what the hell's going on. Most people. Obviously, if people are going back and forth across the border often and changing their pesos into dollars, they learn. And where's the best place? It's not here. Oh, here. This place often has the best prices. And because, really, how do they make money? Sometimes the spread is absolutely very tiny. These are actually not too small, not too big. But I think they make most of their money selling people lottery tickets and cashing their checks. And notice they say, no comisión. They are not brokers. They are dealers. They are market makers. That's how they make their money. Yes?
So if you're buying peso, if I go in there with like $20, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm buying pesos at $18,479, then I can sell them back to them at $18,550.
Where's the...
Or the bottom one, $19,000.
Yeah, if you want to get your dollars back,
right,
they're going to want this place 19.1 pesos.
Ah, okay.
And they're making money off. And that's exactly what happens on Wall Street. That's what's happening now. And that's why you're being offered, you know, $5 a trade, $0 a trade. Well, this place would then, not this place, because it's dollars and pesos, they would turn around and give your brokerage firm a kickback.
Which is how the money market works internationally, by currencies based off of...
Oh yeah, this happens on all currencies.
Yeah.
It happens on all... This is just something that seems very near and dear to us. Now, look at these people. They're going to give you more pesos. Notice they don't say no comisión. Be careful. Some of these places not only make money off the spread, they make money off of commission. And that's perfectly legal. That is perfectly legal as long as they tell you. And that's how Scottrade and Robinhood, well, Robinhood doesn't charge you commission, but Scottrade charges you $7 and makes money off of the spread, but they're not the ones doing it. They're getting a kickback from the dealer market. But places like Merrill Lynch, which is now called Bank of America Securities, and Morgan Stanley and all those places, they do. They have their own internal dealers and broker and market makers who are making money off the spread. Now we move into Tijuana, and notice, I don't know why this is, but I've only seen it about two or three times, maybe two times, where it's more. They will give you fewer pesos for your dollars, but they only want fewer dollars for fewer pesos for dollars. So they'll give you fewer pesos in Tijuana. So if you're going in Tijuana and you want to buy, change into pesos, do it in San Isidro. Then if you want to change back to dollars, do it in TJ, because you get a better price. And notice that some of the places that accept money will also accept dollars, but they'll give you less because they're not a money. You know, OXXO is a 7-Eleven. And now, here's where you got to be careful. This place has been around for decades, and they charge. Cobramos comisión. See, they're telling you. This is right along the used to be a sea of gringos, you know, shorts and baseball caps, walking to revolution, but that's all gone now. And this place has been around for decades. And notice the spread for euros. They'll take your euros, we'll give you 15 pesos. A euro is worth more than a dollar. But if you want to buy euros, we want 20 pesos. And here's the worst. This is what I'm taking you over. I'm sorry. This is one of the scams you're going to see when you go to either places where there's not as much competition or you go down to the tourist areas. We want 18.49 pesos if you want dollars, but we're going to give you 17.099. So make people think that's a period. We'll give you almost 18, but they're only giving you 17.099. This is along Articulo 1, 2, 3, Viente, right by the cathedral, and right next door is where all the nice young women stand, the paraditas, and there's all these gringos running around, and they want to give them lessons on how to learn Spanish. They want you to go up to this room, and they'll teach you Spanish. And they're all very pious, because the cathedral's right next door, so they go to the cathedral and back again. Check it out. Okay, so cool. Okay, study. When we come back, and they get really angry when you take a picture. They go start yelling at you, and I smile and wave because they're inside, and I just walk away. Okay, so next Tuesday we continue with stocks. Get those assignments in. Do your research. You guys are awesome. You can give these back. Yeah, give these back. I should print out new ones. Okay, thank you, Simon. Thank you.
Yeah, I couldn't find this one.
Couldn't find everything? Don't worry about it. Look for what? What do you need?
The assignment.
Oh, the sheet?
Yes.
Okay, I think I should have some extras. Hang on a minute. Okay.